Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening in to the Between the Ropes podcast. Brian Fritz here. Two big interviews on this podcast. Two WWE superstars, and both of them are helping a great cause. Finn Balor and Roman Reigns. Both of them are taking part, along with the rest of the WWE, in the Answer the Call charity. You can go to charitybuzz.com/WWE, and you can bid on online auctions that includes professional athletes, some Hollywood celebrities, as well as some with WWE superstars. And all of the money goes to the proceeds for fallen heroes in New York City. It's a great cause. There's a lot of great auctions that are out there. Like I said, go to charitybuzz.com/WWE to see all of the different online auctions. Let's get to the interviews. First of all, NXT champion Finn Balor. He's got a big match coming up. NXT Brooklyn the night before SummerSlam. Ladder match against Kevin Owens. We talk about that. We talk about his time so far in NXT and a lot more. So here's my conversation with Finn Balor. Well, it's great to be speaking with NXT champion Finn Balor. So how's life treating you these days, Finn?
Brian, life is incredible. It's been a bit of a roller coaster the last year, but the roller coaster's only going up, so it's pretty cool, you know?
Well, I was going to mention that because you've been with WWE now for just over a year. What's been the biggest surprise so far for you?
Biggest surprise, I think biggest surprise has to be how helpful everyone has been, helping me adapt to the new company and new country, new like working environments and kind of new style of wrestling. So the powers that be have kind of like rolled out the red carpet and bent over backwards for me to make sure I've kind of settled in, which it's very humbling.
What has the transition been like for you? Because as a fan or somebody on the outside, it seems like you've adapted very, very quickly and caught on to the WWE system.
Well, I'm not sure how it looks from the outside, but for me personally, it's been very difficult. There's a lot of subtle differences that go into kind of changing your style up and kind of adapting to the new style of work here in WWE, and it's something that I'm very grateful for the help that I've been given by the company. But it's not just in the ring; it's outside the ring and adapting to life there as well. It's been a little bit of a struggle getting used to life in the States and adapting to a kind of a new lifestyle where I was used to getting home, maybe once a month while I was in Japan, but battling a lot of homesickness at the moment. But professionally, it's been going great, and I feel like I've been improving every day and learning again, which I felt like, maybe I kind of peaked in Japan, and I feel like, now I'm kind of starting at the bottom again and working my way up and learning new things every day, and how to kind of apply myself differently to different things. So it's been a real learning experience over the last year, and I'm looking forward to what the next couple of years hold.
What's it been like for the connection with the audience? Like I said, because when you came over, it was so highly anticipated, and I've gone to different NXT shows and even regular WWE shows, and the amount of people wearing Finn Balor shirts or even Bullet Club shirts has been enormous.
It's really humbling, and I always go back to this one point. It was my first appearance on NXT at Full Sail when I came out to help Hideo, and you kind of forget how big the reach of pro wrestling has around the world, and I guess I got stuck in my own little bubble in Japan, thinking that what I was doing in Japan was only kind of applicable to the New Japan fans. But that first day I walked out on NXT when they flashed up Prince Devitt and the reaction it got, and then I came to the ring, the Full Sail University crowd were just on fire, and from there it's kind of snowballed around WWE Universe, and it's very humbling to see the reach that my previous work has had, and and the just the extent and the reach that the WWE Universe has around the world is incredible, because I just got back from Australia, and, you know, there's Finn Balor shirts and kids playing with Finn Balor, like, down in Australia, and, you know, somewhere that I'd never wrestled before. So it's really, like, a very humbling experience.
You mentioned Japan. So you recently got to go back to Japan. You won the NXT Championship at the Beast in the East show that aired on the WWE Network against Kevin Owens. What was that experience like for you, getting that opportunity to go back to Japan now as Finn Balor?
It was kind of like the meeting of two chapters in my life. You know, it was a place that had became a, you know, a second home for me. That I had a lot of friends, a lot of incredible memories that I kind of stepped away from and left behind. And, you know, I was never sure that I was ever going to return there. And to return, you know, a year later to challenge for the NXT Championship was a very kind of surreal experience. And it was almost like, you know, the storyline couldn't have been written any better with regards, like, you know, the location. You know, it was the same building that I'd had my last match for New Japan, and to return there with WWE to wrestle, you know, Kevin Owens, who was, you know, someone who came into NXT at the same time as me. And, you know, we kind of experienced a lot of the same difficulties of, you know, adapting to the new environment and new style, and, you know, we kind of went through that struggle together. And to be in a championship match with, you know, someone who had become a very close friend of mine was, you know, the script couldn't have been written any better. And, you know, it's a night that I'll never ever forget for the rest of my life. It's definitely like a milestone kind of night in my career, for more than just the fact that I won the NXT Championship, for many personal reasons too.
Now, I know you're going to be facing Kevin Owens again. It's NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. That's coming up on August 22nd, the night before SummerSlam. That's going to be a ladder match. When was the last time you had a ladder match?
Believe it or not, I've never, ever, ever had a ladder match.
I was wondering that.
So, I've been involved in a few stunts in hardcore matches that have involved ladders, but I've never actually been in a specific ladder match. So, you know, this is something very new to me. I've been doing a little bit of homework, watching my good buddy Neville's match against Bo Dallas for the NXT Championship, kind of doing a little bit of homework on that. And I know I maybe considered the underdog going into this match a little bit. You know, Kevin's a lot of experience in ladder matches. He's been in on the 7th, I'm up for the challenge. I'm excited. It's something new. And I think sold out Barclays Center in Brooklyn is going to be in for a treat.
Absolutely. So, speaking of a treat, you, along with WWE, are involved with a online auction on CharityBuzz.com. Tell me a little bit about it and your involvement.
We're working together for the New York Food and Fire Benefit Fund, and it's a great charity, and we're gonna auction off the opportunity to come down to the Performance Center, and, you know, get some little demons painted up, and we'll do a tour of the Performance Center, and it'll be a good day.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things people can bid on. Like you said, the chance to meet you and get painted, lunch with Ric Flair, you get to meet Stephanie McMahon. Another one is meeting Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman backstage at a pay-per-view. Have you ever met Brock?
I've met Brock quite a few times, actually. Believe it or not, I met Brock maybe about 10 years ago when he was IWGP Heavyweight Champion out in New Japan, and I was a lowly young boy kind of serving my time as an intern in New Japan, and he was very nice then, and he's still very nice now. You know, don't let the beast fool you. He's still a very polite, humble man, you know.
Thank goodness. I can only imagine if it wasn't the case.
Yeah.
Couple last things here. You know, there's so many different things when it comes to being a WWE superstar. We see all the different opportunities. There's now an action figure of you out. You're going to be part of the upcoming 2K16 game, and we've already seen the entrance. What's it like to see yourself like that?
You know, that's been kind of one of the hardest things to adjust to, because, you know, I've been wrestling for 14 years before I came here, and you know, it was very easy to kind of leave my work at work and kind of go home and, you know, back to my kind of secluded personal life. But those lines have kind of become blurred a little bit recently, you know, and it's kind of hard to separate the two. You know, you get obviously a lot more publicity, but you know, it's obviously new doors are being opened for me. You know, as a kid, I played all those video games. As a kid, I had every action figure, and you know, now I'm getting the opportunity to be in the video game or to have my own action figure. And it's to say it's humbling is an understatement. You know, I guess I'm just kind of experiencing it now, so I don't really have a chance to kind of sit back and fully grasp or understand kind of the you know, the extent of the effect that I'm having kind of on kids right now. But hopefully in the future I can, you know, be maybe a good role model for kids and help them grow up to, you know, follow their dreams just like I am.
Two quick things. I got to speak with you a couple of days before WrestleMania this past year, and you were talking about how much you enjoyed the experience, but at the same time, you knew you were going to have a hard time watching WrestleMania because you wanted to be a part of it so badly. So how hard are you pushing to be a part of WrestleMania 32?
Well, you know, I think everybody in WWE and NXT want to be involved in WrestleMania. But, you know, I can huff and puff and push all I want, but, you know, that's something you just can't rush. And then I'll sit and wait patiently, and, you know, when my chance comes, I'll be ready to take it.
Last thing, who's the worst driver, yourself or Hideo Itami?
Well, believe it or not, I took Hideo for his driving test here in the States recently, and bear in mind, he'd been driving in Japan for many, many years, and, you know, I'm just a rookie driver still in my first year, and I said, you know, Hideo, do you want to maybe drive my car to the test center just so, you know, you get used to driving my car? And sure enough, as we were driving to the driving center, he almost got in an accident and wrecked my car. So, but thankfully he didn't. We're both safe. He passed his driving test. He's now a Florida State licensed driver, as am I. So I think it's pretty much the blind leading the blind with the two of us. So I think we're both as bad as each other.
Finn, I live here in Orlando. I'm scared for my life knowing that you guys are on the road.
Yeah, book it if you will.
Well, I appreciate the time. Keep up the great work. And also, everybody can go to charitybuzz.com/WWE, see all the unique once-in-a-lifetime experiences. It's all for a great thing. It's Answer the Call, the Newark Police and Fire Widows and Children's Benefit Fund. You can take part in the auctions there, and that will go through Tuesday, August 25th. Finn, appreciate the time, and looking forward to see you taking part of NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn.
Thank you, Brian.
It's always great to talk to Finn. You want to talk about a down-to-earth, humble guy that just loves the wrestling business, just wants to be in the ring, wants to entertain, wants to show his art to the world. That is Finn Bálor. The guy loves the wrestling business. Want a quick reminder for everybody that has helped us out when it comes to Between the Ropes, not only for going to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribing to the podcast on iTunes and on Stitcher, and also checking us out on YouTube. Just go to youtube.com/between the ropes, subscribe to us there as well. But for everybody that is also supporting us on Patreon, we really, really appreciate it. That goes a long way into helping us out, paying the bills, and letting us do what we do. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. There is a lot that's out there. I get it. But if you value what we do, anything that you value, support it. Help them. And that's what we're hoping you will do when it comes to Between the Ropes. Even if it's $1 a month, it really helps us out, and it means a lot to all of us here at Between the Ropes. So please support us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/between the ropes. Now let's get to my talk with Roman Reigns. He's got a big match coming up as well, SummerSlam, Barclays Center in Brooklyn. He'll be teaming up with his old buddy Dean Ambrose to take on Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper. We talk about that match. Of course, we talk about the charity as well. And we talk about what this year has been like for him, for a guy that won the Royal Rumble, everybody thought was going to be the WWE champion, but things didn't go that way. So here's my talk with Roman Reigns. It is great to be talking with WWE superstar Roman Reigns. Roman, how's the hair today?
The hair?
Yeah, how's the hair?
Oh, it's fine. Nobody usually asks that right off the bat. The hair's good. Just looking to get it wet and get to work tonight.
Well, that's the important thing is the look. I mean, you got to have it, and the hair is the thing that really bounces out. I'm telling you, man, anytime that I bring up your name around women, they go crazy, and they talk about the hair. I mean, they talk about a lot of things when it comes to you.
Yeah, common mistake. Just a bunch of smoke and mirrors I got going on here. I got magical hair conditioner and baby oil. It's the whole supporting crew and cast around me. It's what happens backstage that prepares me for on camera.
Do you find that it's the younger women that are really attracted to you or the middle-aged women? Because I tend to think it's the cougars a little bit more.
I think a little bit of both. I think, definitely probably the older, grown women. I think, I'm not a young looking man. I'd like to think I'm a young spry man, but, I'm 30 now and I got a couple grays in my beard and maybe a little salt and pepper in my hair. If you were to, let my hair down and go through it, you'd see a good bit of grays, maybe from the stress of the road and this crazy business I'm in. But, I think that may be a fair assumption, but I like to think that, I'm not an old man now. I'm not losing, my touch with, the youth and what the hipsters these days. I'm not an old man yet. 30 ain't bad.
No, you're not old at all. So what has the adjustment been like for you now having a family? Because I know you got married not too long ago, but you had been with your wife for years before that and you have a daughter and, we've always heard about, how taxing the wrestling business can be, especially when you do have a family.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, that's the real work, is being away from, my loved ones, my family, my household. There's nothing that hurts more than being away from my little girl and missing days. But, I'm lucky. This generation is lucky. My father and a bunch of my cousins and uncles, they didn't have the opportunity to use FaceTime or Skype or, all these different technologies and advancements that we have. So that's really helped out to kind of close that gap. But at the same time, there's nothing like being, in person, being in real time and experiencing the things that you love with your loved ones, but it's all a part of the process. And my family, I'm so fortunate. I have such a supportive family and people who understand, what I'm going through and what I'm trying to do for us. And they know that it's for our family and for our future. So I'm very grateful for that.
Well, you talk about social media and how much it can help with our lifestyles, but also it gives the audience a little bit more of an opportunity to be closer to the celebrities like yourself and also to have their voice be heard. What was it like earlier this year when the crowd response was what it was and there were some people coming down hard on you?
It was kind of rough, to be honest. Someone my age, we didn't go through the internet like how it is now. When I was a kid, I was outside. I was sweating and running around and me and the Usos were, tearing up the yard or doing yard work for that matter. We didn't have all these video games and all these social media outlets and there weren't cameras on every single device that you could think of. So it's a little bit different, and as an adult, and I've always kind of been, I've tried to be a good person my whole life. So I've made good friends and I've always, built great relationships and been friendly with people I always think what you do to others will, come to you. So that's how I treat people. But, when you deal with an internet situation where all these people are just attacking you for no real reason at all, other than you're just going out there trying to entertain them, trying to give them something to get outside of their life, to get outside of their reality, suspend belief for them, and for them to attack you for no real reason. It's not like I was trying to hurt anybody. I was just trying to, do my thing, make my art the way I wanted and just have a good time, and hopefully it reflects that. But it's just one of those things that once it's opened up, it's eye-opening, and it's it's shocking and it's hurtful, but it's just a part of the world. And just like anything else, any other form of bullying that the world's dealt with, we're going to get past it. And, you know, strong people are strong for a reason. They can hold that weight. God gave me broad shoulders because I can carry that load. So it was kind of, you know, it was a shock and awe factor at first, but it's a lot easier now for sure.
I was going to say, why do you think it was so vocal? Was it just simply because you weren't Daniel Bryan, or what do you think it was?
I think, you know, possibly, you know, it was a lot to do on just how over Bryan is. He, till this day, he's still just a phenomenal performer. I mean, I think everybody who's ever been in an arena, you don't even have to be in the ring with them. You have an appreciation for them. Even if you're not into them, you still have to appreciate them. And it was just the fact of what was happening is he was the most over guy we had. He was drawing people and they loved him. And the whole Yes movement was on fire. But, you know, at the same time, as a company, you have to continue to build other stars and build a future. And I'm not a believer in it's just one guy. I believe in the team. I believe in having a great cast of good people and strong men around us to create the best, you know, to maximize the product. It just can't be one person. So I think it was a combination of me, you know, not being Bryan, and just it being, you know, the internet thing, the cool, like all the cool kids were like banning against the jock. It was, I don't know, it was weird. But I think it just became like a cool thing to boo me. And I think it's still a little bit, it happens still to this day. And it, you know, it blows my mind, but I'm still just going to keep grinding and getting better. And anybody who says I haven't progressed and gotten just 1,000 times better, you're lying. You're a bold-faced liar.
When it came to WrestleMania, I think so many people thought that you were going to leave that show as the World Heavyweight Champion. Was it a disappointment that didn't happen, or what was your reaction after that show?
Oh, of course. I mean, no, it wasn't. To not leave WWE World Heavyweight Champion was an absolute disappointment, yes. But in that same vein, it was the greatest opportunity God's ever given me. I can't explain to you how grateful and thankful I am to be favored like that, to be able to say, I come from a wrestling family. I said, when I'm with my family, I'm with workers. I'm with people who know this business, who've been on the road. And to be able to say, I main evented WrestleMania within our, you know, within our family tree, be able to say that at the table, that's big boy stuff. So I thank God every single day. Every day I look at my daughter and my wife and the house that we live in and the opportunities that we've been afforded. It was the best day of my life. But at the same time, that's how important the WWE Championship is to me. To have the best day happen and to still feel pain for not winning that, I think it speaks volumes.
Go back to this past weekend. We know about the incident that happened at a non-televised event up in British Columbia over the weekend where you got hit in the head by a Money in the Bank briefcase by a fan. Did you know exactly what had happened the second that you got hit with that?
No, to be honest, I thought Bray hit me right in the head with the kendo stick. And I was about to fire up pretty good, and then I saw that briefcase go down. And I don't want to, you know, bring light to this situation or like play it down because it was absolutely wrong. There's no place in that. There's just no way there to anybody. But it didn't hurt. Like you can, if you see the video, once I realized what had happened, you can see I clearly stand up and I'm taken out of the moment. Because, you know, I'm furious for just being disrespected in that manner. But I, you know, it was a plastic replica briefcase. It didn't hurt. The show went on, and I think that was the most important thing, was just continue doing what we were doing. And, you know, myself and Bray set out to entertain Victoria that night, and that's what we continued to do. So, but at the same time, the only thing I got to say about that is there's just no room for that. You ruin the show for everybody. And when it comes down to it, the dude was 31 years old. He was 31 years old.
Yeah. And I think he got up super late because he didn't even get prosecuted.
Well, I didn't press charges. Our security guy, I want to take this opportunity actually to thank all of our WWE security. These are world class. And this is what it's all about. This is kind of what we're doing here. This is right on topic, but you know, they answer the call. These are the type of people we work with. We're allowed and given such great opportunities and to build relationships with former police officers and military and servicemen. And I'm just so grateful that I had, our security team there. And they helped me out so much because I go through the crowd, I go through the concourse and for them to have my back like that, I want to thank them for that. And our guy was there. He was there immediately, and he neutralized the situation. He was outnumbered for a while, but he didn't back down, and he protected us, and I can't thank him enough. But there's no point. I didn't get hurt. The guy, I think he learned his lesson. I think he got, taken in for at least a night or so. But I didn't bleed. But, I mean, it could have been serious. If the guy would have hit me in my eye, he hits me in my eye. He takes my eye out. It messes my up. If it affects my career at all, the only thing I'm asking in a situation like that is to also remember I am an entertainer, but I am a provider to a 7-year-old little girl, to a wife, and the rest of my family, my mother, my father. If you take that away from me, then you've taken that away from me for such a stupid thing.
You mentioned the online auction. People can go to charitybuzz.com in support of Answer the Call to help the families of fallen New York City heroes. Tell me a little bit more about that and your direct involvement with it as well.
This is just another great opportunity. WWE this is what it's all about. This is what the platform should be used for. Are these type of benefits? It's so unique. It's a once in a lifetime experience. Like you said, Answer the Call. It's all about the New York Police and Fire Widows and the Children's Benefit Fund. Our servicemen and our the people who protect us in our country, they put their lives on the line. They really put their lives on the line, not for entertainment, but for security, for freedom, for peace of mind. And we lose people, we lose heroes every single day, and they leave families behind. And if there's anything that we can do to help and to put a smile on anybody's face and just make someone's day better, that's what we're out here to do. So for me, I would love to have just the highest bids for this auction. Come hang out with me backstage at Monday Night Raw, meet a bunch of other superstars. I'll even buy you lunch.
Hey, that's a deal right there. Because people can go online to charitybuzz.com/WWE, all the different auctions that's on there with various WWE superstars. And also there's Hollywood celebrities, and there's some other things with professional athletes as well. So everybody can check that out and they can bid there. Two quick things. Obviously, SummerSlam is right around the corner. You're going to be teaming with your buddy Dean Ambrose to take on Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper. What's it like working in the ring again with Dean?
Oh, it's great, man. It amps up the fun, when you have a buddy out there to experience the atmosphere. And don't get me wrong, it's great doing singles and controlling the crowd and just milking it up for 30, 35 minutes. But there's just something about team chemistry and team fights and tag team matches. And people don't realize it sometimes, but the tag team story, is, in my opinion, is the best. That's the best type of match. It's the best story that we can tell because people get that. Not everybody knows what it feels like to get hit by a stick or like a chair or go through a table, but people know what it's like for the most part to have a team and want to help somebody and want to, dig. And I think that's the most exciting thing. And to be able to go out there and tell a crazy, hardcore, wild story with Ambrose and the Wyatts, it's going to be an absolute privilege.
Last thing, what was it like being backstage a few weeks ago when Seth Rollins smashed Cena's nose. Were you watching the show at that point?
I was actually at home taking a few days off. I wasn't at Raw that week, but it was funny because I'm sitting down on my couch, you know, flipping through the channels, and I was like, oh, the main event's on. I'll check that out. And literally 2 minutes after I put the match on, Seth just whacked him right in the face with that knee. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, that's a finish right there, man. That's a serious, all you got to do is show a replay, and that's as devastating a move as any other one. So he definitely has a new weapon in play. But if he tries to throw that knee at my face, I'll break his knee with my forearm.
I was going
to
say, stay clear of that one. Well, like I said before,
I'm lucky to have scouted it right off the bat.
Yeah, exactly. So everybody can go to charitybuzz.com/WWE. It's the answer to the call for the New York Police and Fire Widows and Children's Benefit Fund. It's going on till Tuesday, August 25th, where you can bid on these exclusive experiences, including one with Roman Reigns. So, Roman, appreciate the time, and keep up the great work.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate the interview.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you. Have a nice day.